Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's second letter to the young pastor named Timothy, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn aside their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Many years ago, when I was a young pastor, a young lady in my congregation had fallen into a grave sin, and I had talked to her about this. Her family members had asked me to discuss it with her, and she didn't care what God said and was wanting to go off her way unrepentant, not sorry for what she was doing. And she told me, well, if you're not willing to let me live like this, I'll find a church that does. And she did. I found out through her family members that a few weeks later she was attending another church. So I called up a neighboring Lutheran pastor and talked to him about this and explained her situation. And he said, oh, I know all about it. I know all about it. And I said, well, I'm trying to bring her back to God's grace and repentance. And he said to me, you know, in this day and age, I just don't think you can expect people to live by the Bible anymore. That was quite a statement. In this day and age, you just can't expect people to live by the Bible anymore. St. Paul is warning about this type of attitude to young Timothy as we prepare for the return of our Lord Jesus on the great day of judgment, as to what pastors will be teaching and what members will be wanting to listen to, what the hearers of God's word will be seeking. There will be many times, difficult times, when it is hard for us to stand up for God's truth and to want to defend it. And the pressure is going to come from inside of the church, from people who are professed Christians, to want to alter and change the teachings of God's word. Notice that Paul doesn't say the time might come. He says the time will come. It's going to come. Just as it did in the Old Testament, days of the Old Testament prophets, who were pressured by the people to alter the prophecy that they received from God and not to be faithful to it. St. Paul is warning this young pastor not to slide into this pressure of that he may feel someday from the members of his own congregation to want to change the teachings of God's word. So even Timothy has this potential in him, Paul is identifying. In fact, Paul identifies this in himself when he writes to the Galatians. He says, even if I or an angel from heaven should come and teach something different to you, let them be accursed. False prophets rarely realize they are false prophets. Heretics don't realize that they're spreading heresy. In fact, some of them are so convinced of what they're standing for, they're willing to die for it. Talk to David Koresh or Jim Jones. The danger to God's truth does not primarily come from Islam or Hinduism or atheism, but it comes from Christian people pressuring the church and from those in leadership in the church who may want to alter God's message in order to fit the society and the culture that they're living in a little bit better. A commentator by the name of Richard Lenski warns this, and he says that we shouldn't be worried about issues like the occult. That's not where our worry should be, but he says, the danger is that today false doctrines are not recognized as coming from demons unless they deny the faith entirely. As if the devil is not cunning enough to begin with little lies, as if only those that are as big as mountains come from him. You will always be able to find a shepherd out there willing to tell his sheep what they want to hear for money or for popularity or for numbers. But the true shepherds under Christ, the true shepherds of his church and kingdom, do not bind their sheep to themselves. They do not even bind their sheep to their congregation or to their church body, because all of those things can fail, can ultimately mislead. They don't seek to have personal allegiance from their hearers to themselves and their own personal ministry. They bind their sheep instead to the Word of God, to the voice of Christ coming through that Word, the voice of their good shepherd who's laid down his life for his sheep. And they seek to establish their sheep's allegiance only to him and through his Word. When we simply assume that we possess God's truth, that is when we are the most vulnerable to lose it. It is something we need to keep examining ourselves over and over again. Now, if you're expecting that staying faithful to God's truth and in your congregation and in your future, if you're expecting that staying faithful to that truth of God's word is going to be fun or exciting or is going to gain you some popularity, well, you are greatly mistaken. There's a tendency inside of all of us, Christians as well, to gravitate away from what God says, to think that we have a better way to understand spiritual matters. But Paul is saying that our confession of God's truth must be consistent, whether it's convenient for us or inconvenient for us. Now, why does he make such a big deal about it? Because of what it brings us and what it contains for us. The one and only answer to our sin through the blood of Christ. The one and only powerful champion against the devil, and that is our Savior. The one and only answer to your future box that your dead body will lay in someday, your grave. The one and only answer to that, our Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The fact that it is only in this Redeemer who gives himself to us through his word, through that very word we confess, that it is this Redeemer who's paid for every sin we've ever committed by his blood, who's come to win for us salvation and life with the angels and a seat at the feast of the mansions above. This is what's on the line, and this is what makes it all worthwhile. Many years ago, another young lady in the congregation I was serving, a young mother, had gone with her daughter, who was 4 years old at the time, to her first day of Sunday school, in our preschool Sunday school. And she came to me the next morning at 8 o'clock, and she said, "Pastor, I want to talk to you about something that really bothers me. My little girl's Sunday school teacher," because she sat in on the class, "was teaching the children that we have to obey what Jesus says if we ever expect to get to heaven." And she said, "She's confusing law and gospel. She's already messing up for my 4-year-old the hope of life in heaven and in God's grace." And she asked that I would go and talk to that Sunday school teacher. That's vigilance. That's vigilance. She knew that that little false concept and idea could potentially mislead her daughter someday to not be in heaven. When we, by God's grace, through faith in Christ, do finally arrive in heaven, all of the struggles that we had to face in this life, all of the challenges that we as a professing and confessing Christian congregation had to face, are all then finally going to be worth it. And in the meantime, may we pray with Luther, "Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. Amen."